Nothing gets you going in the morning like a good cup of Joe and a little Howie Carr, right?
We love Howie Carr, right?
I was referred to today as 1970s Boston.
Hey, paper boy.
It comes from the tabloid talk show stuff in Boston, and it was concocted there.
It's Howie Carr.
Welcome to the Howie Carr Show, 844-500-4242. We're all very pleased that the fake Indian was not injured today when she fell over. Latest bulletin, she did not have to go see the medicine man. And another texter, Limerick guy, says, looks like she lost the battle of tip over canoe. I'm sure there'll be more of these little witticisms as the afternoon goes on. So it's a big day in the Russian collusion hoax story. All sorts of documents are dropping. The annex, they call it, an appendix, whatever you want to call it, footnotes to John Durham's report have been released. 29 pages is pretty amazing. And Tulsi Gabbard, the director of National Intelligence, has released some documents showing that they were trying to knuckle an analyst for the Clapper was, James Clapper, then the DNI, to get him to go along with their phony baloney attempts to tie Trump to the Russians in the wake of the 2016 elections. There's a lot going on here and a lot to sort out. It's going to take a while. And we're not going to get any help from the mainstream media, needless to say, other than to say they're just trying to deflect from Epstein. But we're joined now by John Heinerocker from Powerline Blog. It's a great website. I check it out every day, powerlineblog.com. And he's a retired lawyer from Minneapolis, and he's been following this very closely. And John, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show. And you wrote about this, what Tulsi Gabbard released today. But I want to ask you first about this amazing statement from George Soros' associate. He was the senior vice president of the Open Society, which is one of his big money funneling, money laundering organizations. He says, it will be a long-term affair to demonize Putin and Trump. Now it is good for a post-convention bounce. This is right after the Democrat convention. And then here's the key. Later, the FBI will put more oil on the fire. That's kind of a smoking gun, wouldn't you say, John Heinerocker?
Howie, it's unbelievable. So these are materials that Chuck Grassley has put out, senator from Iowa, who's done a tremendous amount of work here. He's the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and he encouraged that these documents be declassified. And they were, as you say, the annex to the Durham report. I don't recall the Durham report being as explosive as these documents are.
That's why, John, it was all classified. And I asked, and you know, then this, it's like the House committee report that Devin Nunes had. That was written in 2020, and they classified it so that even when Republicans took control of the House, they couldn't release it.
You know, the broad outlines of the Russia collusion hoax have been known for a long time. Devin Nunes and his committee did a lot of the initial work. I think it was 2019 when Andy McCarthy published his book, Ball of Collusion. So we have known the basics of the story, the fabrication of this Steele dossier on behalf of the Hillary Clinton campaign, and so on. But what we're seeing now is these contemporaneous documents that are really filling in the blanks and painting in the details. And this group that got released by Senator Grassley today, it's unbelievably interesting. So it looks like they're talking openly about the fact that the Hillary Clinton campaign cooked up the Russia collusion hoax to distract attention from the email server scandal, which she was mired in at the time. And as you said here at the beginning of the conversation, Howie, some of these communications have got a senior guy from George Soros' Open Society Foundation who's in on the plan.
Right.
You know, it's really unbelievable. And the FBI apparently had this information before it started the infamous Crossfire Hurricane.
Yeah, these documents all came just days before they started the Crossfire Hurricane investigation. I'll repeat this again. Later, this is from George Soros' guy. Later, the FBI will put more oil into the fire.
Yeah, you know, you just have to wonder how thoroughly this whole thing was greased in the beginning and whether the pieces of paper that will finally put the last nail in the coffin ever come to light. But the other thing we've been seeing in these documents, and this is more from the release that DNI Tulsi Gabbard did yesterday, you know, the Steele dossier. And one of the things that we're learning is that these intelligence professionals never believed for a moment that the Steele dossier was legitimate. They rejected it out of hand. They thought it was incredible. They didn't believe it. It didn't live up to their tradecraft standards. So one of the things these documents show is how Comey and Brennan inserted the Steele dossier, which was known to be fiction, into the whole situation. And there's this one wonderful memo, and this is a whistleblower, a senior guy in the Intelligence Committee who was in charge of the original investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. And it says that when Comey and Brennan and whoever was then the DNI were in the car on their way to brief President Trump, this is right after he's been inaugurated, Comey pulls the Steele dossier out of his briefcase and adds it to the briefing. And if you remember how this all played out, Howie, a bunch of news outlets, the Daily Beast and I think CNN and others, had the Steele dossier, but none of them would print it because it wasn't authenticated. It was kind of absurd on its face.
Even Jake Tapper knew it was BS, you know, and was afraid to bite on it. And he's a Democrat operative, you know?
Right. Yeah. And so it wasn't getting anywhere. So their strategy was these three guys went to the White House. They briefed President Trump, and the briefing included the Steele dossier because James Comey, according to this memo, surprised the others by pulling it out of his briefcase. And then the news story was President Trump has been briefed on X, Y, and Z.
Right.
And that made it, from the standpoint of CNN or Daily Beast or whatever, you know, a legitimate news story. But that whole thing was planned by these anti-Trump activists in the FBI and the CIA.
Yeah, it's just amazing. And you put out, you've got a blog posting of the latest on the Russia collusion hoax. And you have some of the stuff about this whistleblower. And it's, you know, he's basically telling his boss, I this is ridiculous. You know, it's ridiculous. And it says the boss further reiterated ongoing invocation that I abandoned my tradecraft standards.
Right.
In other words, my professionalism, you know, don't worry about being an investigator. Just do what the Democrats want you to do.
Right, and he was warned that his chances for promotion were nil if he didn't go along with the Steele dossier story.
Right, and he said, and the guy, the boss, told him by that he was observing the analyst culture and tradecraft, it is a pseudo religion, and I would need to demonstrate. This is a quote. I would need to demonstrate my ability to outgrow it. In order to recommend my promotion to a senior executive service, I held firm and explained that the religion of analysts, as he called it, to which I belong, meant I could not claim to concur with analysis I didn't believe.
The corruption that we're seeing here in these agencies is unbelievable. At one point in this memo, he's describing his conversation with this superior, and the name of the superior is redacted, but it had to be somebody at the very top because this guy himself was very high up. But the superior says to him, isn't it possible I just lost it. Isn't it possible that Putin has something on Trump and is blackmailing him?
Yeah.
To blackmail or coerce him? And the guy said, well, no, you know, there's no evidence of that. You know, there's no intelligence that supports that theory.
Yeah, and then at one point, Brennan, they're pointing out some of the absurdities in the Steele dossier, and Brennan says, yeah, but doesn't it sound right?
Yeah, right. It sounds like the kind of thing that we wish were true, and therefore
right.
We, as intelligence professionals, will say that it is true.
Yeah. And then I like this, you know, this is from the New York Times column that they did today. Not only are they lawyering up John Hindelrocker, they are op-edding up. They're trying to get their views out to the, you know, to the party faithful, the apparatchiks. We have testified under oath. This is Brennan and Clapper today. And the reviews of the assessment have confirmed that the dossier was not used as a source or taken into account for any of its analyses or conclusions. Well, that's untrue, John.
That's totally untrue.
We have the documents.
We now have the documents that show that there was an internal battle over this, and the intelligence professionals did not want to use the Steele dossier in the January 2017 intelligence community assessment, but it was forced in there by John Brennan. I mean,
right.
we have documentary evidence that what he's writing
right.
there in that Times op-ed is false.
So then after he says this, then he admits it's false, basically. Okay, a short summary of the dossier was added as a separate annex only to the most highly classified version of the document that contained the assessment. So you did add the dossier, Mr. Brennan, didn't you?
Well, they added it, but they did more than that. You know, there's a reason why every single person on Earth has heard all about the Steele dossier. You know, they knew it was fake, but they pretended to brief Donald Trump on it, and then the whole thing, the dossier had already been leaked to all these news organizations,
right?
It was out there, and so they then, that then verified it in the eyes of news organizations, and it became, you know, it became something that really hamstrung the first Trump administration. He battled these allegations for years.
Right, and you know, people are asking me on the text line saying, why didn't he do something about this in his first administration? Well, he didn't have an attorney general for basically, if you include Barr, I mean, Barr was a slight improvement, but he was still in the satchel. But, you know, Jeff Sessions was out of the box because he had a meal with the Russian ambassador at the convention in Cleveland in the summer of 2016. And so they put in Rod Rosenstein, who was basically a Democrat operative, as the acting attorney general. And he signed off on all the Mueller probe, the Mueller cover up. And it's, yeah, you're right. Trump was hamstrung, and he still got a lot done, but think of how much more he could have gotten done if he hadn't had to spend 2 years fighting this off.
Well, there was a concerted effort at the agencies to keep all this as secret as possible. These documents, I think it was the ones that Gabbard released yesterday, they were just found in a room somewhere, at the FBI offices, I recall,
yeah.
Right?
That's,
it was described. You know, a bunch of documents, a bunch of hard drives, and you know, they basically had been buried and hidden.
Yeah. And I noticed it's interesting that Comey didn't sign off on this op-ed piece today. I think he's got, and they say that, well, we only put in the dossier at the insistence of the FBI, meaning Comey. So, here's another one. You know, you mentioned that how Comey sprung it on Trump so that they could leak out that he had seen the Steele dossier. We did everything we could at the time to prevent leaks of intelligence reports, including Russia's preference for Mr. Trump, a requirement that
yeah.
President Obama regularly emphasized. I mean, who are they kidding, John?
It's total lies. And this is another battle that took place within the Intelligence Committee. Brennan and others wanted to say that Trump was interfering in the 2016 election because he was trying to help Trump to win. And here again, the intelligence professionals said, no, there's no evidence of that. And this January 2017 Intelligence Committee assessment was twisted by Brennan and his minions to include that finding, even though the professionals in the agency said that it was unsupported by any evidence.
Remember how Schiff,
they're still saying it today.
And I'll tell you another thing they're still saying. Remember how Schiff used to say he asked the Russians to hack Hillary Clinton's emails? He said it as a joke, right? On cable TV in front of like 100 million people. Well, guess what Brennan and Clapper brought back today? Trump publicly encouraged the Russians to find and expose Ms. Clinton's missing emails.
I know. It's just pathetic, the defense that these people try to mount. But I would say, and there's more to come. You know, I'm sure they haven't found all the documents. I'm sure not all the whistleblowers have been heard from. There's going to be more to come in the next few weeks and months. But I hope that somebody at some point will pull together all the documents. You know, they get released bit by bit.
Right.
And it's very hard to keep track of all the dates and the meetings and who's saying what to whom and the email threads and so forth. So I hope somebody under Tulsi Gabbard, you know, would pull together all this stuff and publish it in a coherent chronological way
so that
we can all read it and really understand the whole sequence of what these guys were doing.
And so that the New York Times and the Washington Post can totally ignore it and claim it's just an attempt to distract from the Epstein investigations. You know, it's really good stuff you're doing, John. Powerline blog continues to be really good, and I'm glad you guys have been talking about how they're trying to underplay the great economic news. You know, and how the New York Times is hoping. You know, we got some bad news yesterday. The economy's looking pretty good, but we're experts say it's going to get worse as time goes on.
They're still holding out hope, you know, that there's going to be a recession. It's almost comical to watch them. I mean, you got to say how Trump is on a real winning streak.
He is.
That European Union trade deal. I mean, here the press in America is mocking him for going to Scotland golfing. And what happens? He comes away with one of the greatest trade deals in history.
All right, John Heinerocker, I recommend powerlineblog.com as a daily read for everybody. Powerlineblog.com. Thanks for joining us, John Heinerocker. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr will return. Howie Carr is back.
Today's poll question is brought to you by the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Launcher. For those who want a powerful self-defense option without resorting to deadly force, visit Byrna.com/Howie to save 10%. BYRNA.com/Howie. BYRNA.com/Howie. Jared, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at HowieCarshow.com, is Kamala Harris's quote-unquote book is entitled 107 Days. Which of these is the better title? 107 Vodkas? 107 Edits by 60 Minutes? 107 McDonald's Fries? 0.107 BAC? Unburdened by Sobriety? Or Travels with Willie?
I'm going to say 0.107 blood alcohol content.
That's actually down a little bit now at 9%.
Really? I bet that was a good one.
36% say Unburdened by Sobriety. That's in the lead. 22% for 107 Edits by 60 Minutes. 20% for 107 Vodkas. 11% for Travels with Willie. And 2% for 107 McDonald's Fries.
844-500-4242. We will take some calls when we come back. This is this story. It really. I know it's complicated, but you know, it's really important, and it's just so scandalous. And the people that promoted this are just so smug and arrogant, and most importantly, they're not nearly as bright as they thought they were. I'm Howie Carr.
It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. Caroline Leavitt, the press secretary, was talking today about all these Russiagate collusion hoax stories that are coming out. And again, they're going to give it a good leaving alone because they were part of it. They gave themselves Pulitzer Prizes for reporting this this arrant BS. That's why they're not going to go for it. Oh, it's so far in the past. And again, these are the same people who act like Watergate happened last month.
What difference at this point does it make?
That's basically their fallback for anything. Oh, it's old news. It's old news. Let's move on. Let's move on. This is Caroline Leavitt, Cut 14.
Well, I think a major organization of the national security apparatus, at least here at the White House within the National Security Council, has indeed taken place. And the president entrusts his current CIA director, John Ratcliffe, and our ODNI director, Tulsi Gabbard, to make the necessary changes to ensure classified intelligence, especially that could implement or hurt the national security of our country, does not make its way into the hands of irresponsible actors who want to politicize that intelligence for their own end. Since you brought up the declassification report that was put out by Senator Grassley today, I'm glad you brought it up because this should be a story every outlet in this room should be covering. This is further evidence that Hillary Clinton approved the Russia hoax against President Trump. Her campaign financed it. Again, she approved it. And the FBI and the CIA were both weaponized to, as our director of CIA has said, accelerate this hoax against then-candidate and former President Trump. To answer the heart of your question, the president wants to see justice served, and he trusts the Attorney General and the Department of Justice to implement that justice and hold these people accountable.
Lock them up. Lock them up. Mark, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Howie. I'm so glad to hear about this annex for the Durham report, you know, and I think that it's very important that we find a way to get Jake Tapper underneath our thumb and just say, come on, Jake, let's find out. Why don't you do your work and get to the bottom of this story like you did with the Biden decomposition, if I could put it that way. But we all know that they're going to give it, like you say, a good leaving alone. So
yeah, you know the thing is, Jake Tapper was he doesn't like to talk about this, but after Comey went there and gave Trump the briefing, quote unquote, so that he could release the information about the dossier, it's like when their charge is made between two people and they want to get it out into the newspapers. I just told some people this over the weekend. I said, these are interesting charges and I believe them, but you got to put them in some file. You got to make them public somehow, like a lawsuit, you know? And once you put it in a lawsuit, I can run with it. Everybody can run with it. And so what Comey did was he made it possible for Jake Tapper to run with this. Jake Tapper, Jim Sciutto was there too. Another Clinton Obama stooge, and the Carl Bernstein of Watergate fame. And then there was one other clown, and they went on for hours talking about this like it was real. I mean, that's a bigger sin by Jake Tapper than trying to cover up Biden's senility and then making $1 million writing about how Biden was senile when he denied it for 4 years. I mean, the guy's a total common nightwalker. He's not a journalist. He's a whore. And, you know, everybody knows it. But I think the worst thing he ever did was promoting the collusion hoax, the Russian collusion hoax. Thanks for the call, Mark. Jay, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jay. You there, Jay? Nope, Jay's got a bad connection. Jim, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, I'll make this brief. I just get a kick out of all of these expensive government studies, like, do we need a new bridge over the canal? Should we paint roofs white? Has anyone ever been to Bermuda? Every roof in Bermuda is not only white to keep the houses cool, they save all the water, the rainwater.
Yeah.
Because they don't have a natural aquifer. So this is proven science. I mean, why do you have to do it in Madagascar?
I know. Or South Africa. I mean, you know, there's no money for air conditioners in Boston, and there's also no money to paint the roofs white in Madagascar. Maybe we could save a little money instead of buying the air conditioners. Just paint the roofs white here and see if it works. And as you said, we all know. Thanks for the call, Jim. 844-500-4242. That's why I don't. You know, they always say, oh well, they're working on this cancer study. So that's one cancer study, and then how many white roofs studies have they got for each valuable cancer study? I don't know the answer to that. And why is the overhead write up for these Harvard University studies about the white roofs? Why is it 40%? Why do you need that kind of a overhead? That's why they've got all the money to buy these abandoned office buildings and retail spaces in Harvard Square, and then they just put in DEI specialists and sustainability advocates and government relations experts in these, make it $200,000, $300,000, $500,000 a year, doing absolutely nothing. And we're paying for it. I'm tired of it. They got it again. They got $53 billion. Let them pay for it if this is so important. Mike, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mike.
You know, Howie, I think what took Grassley's committee in Durham so long to get a hold of the intel on all this is when the FBI classifies something as prohibited access.
Right.
This means the intelligence won't show up in the Sentinel case management system.
Yeah.
Where you would normally go in to look, you won't find it. It will not only become inaccessible, it almost becomes invisible to anyone just right. doing an investigation. The only people that would have access is a real small circle of people.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, you know, a lot of the information that they say, why didn't Durham get this, or why didn't he investigate this? Because he couldn't get in. He couldn't get anything on a Stefan Helper or a Mifsud, the guy that was in Italy. You know, he couldn't, they wouldn't allow him access. It was in silos. The CIA silo, the NSA silo, the FBI silo, and you can't get back and forth. And that's why they're afraid of Tulsi Gabbard, because as the director of national intelligence, she can go back and forth between the silos and get this stuff. And then when Durham does actually get something, like we're finding out he had in the annex about, you know, the FBI will add oil to the fire once we put out the fake story. That's George Soros's guy saying that. When he gets it, it's classified, and they can't get to it. And if Trump hadn't been elected, Mike, we never would have found out any of this stuff, would we?
No, because most of it was all electronic communications. So you will see nothing in the data search. They could have went over and over and over again. But when it's classified prohibited access, you're not going to see it.
Yeah. And they did the same thing in 2017 when some whistleblower told the Inspector General of the Justice Department, Horowitz, Strzok and Page, Lisa Page, his girlfriend, the FBI lawyer, had been exchanging tens of thousands of text messages, and not just whispering sweet nothings in each other's ears. They were also talking about how they were going to bring down Trump. So he said, give me those documents. He said this to the FBI, to Christopher Wray. And Christopher Wray said, that's all gone. So we never had that stuff. And he got somebody who knew what he was doing, and they found him. Can you imagine? This is what we found. How much did they destroy? How much are they still trying to destroy? And then when it comes out, they have the audacity to go and write these things like this op-ed piece for the New York Times or going on CNN or MSNBC and say, these are just lies. These are lies. These are your own documents that you've been hiding for 7, 8, 9 years. 844-500-4242. Jay is back. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, hey, Howie. You know, about the Russiagate stuff, I believe there are two things going on. Number one, we need to have these people arrested, because that's the only thing that will stop the next Democrat president from taking the lawlessness any further. And, you know, everyone from Comey, McCabe, Garland, you know, Clapper and Brennan, they all have to be imprisoned in my view.
I agree.
But aside from that, you know, Richard Nixon now has to have his presidency shadowed by Watergate, and this is far worse. I believe that, you know, Obama, his presidency has to now have the shadow of this horrible scandal, and saying that we already know this stuff and we don't want to talk about it, that's just going to, you know, that's just doing their bidding, because they don't want this to be, you know, shadowing his presidency, but it must, because what they did was so bad that he cannot have, you know, any kind of positive legacy going forward.
Right. And they knew how bad this was, you know, as soon as it was happening. I think Susan Rice, the last memo she wrote as Trump was about to be sworn in on January 20th, 2017, was, we discussed the Russia investigation, and President Obama said everything has to be conducted by the book. Why do you have it? That's what you're writing a memo about at 11:30 on the morning of January 20th? It's CYA. That's all it was. And I don't, unfortunately, Jay, I don't think this is going to be his legacy. They're going to cover this up. They're going to hide this. And, you know, history is written by the victors. We have to keep winning elections or they'll be writing the history just like they were writing it for the last 4 years. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Follow Howie on X.
Got to post a link with witty comment
at Howie Carr Show. Howie Carr is back.
It's Howie Carr's cheap bastard deal. Sounds too good to be true.
Oh no, it's real, and it's a steal.
You know there's plenty more when you shop at Howie's store for another Howie Carr cheap bastard deal.
Howie Carr, the cheapest bastard around.
We have a good deal today, and it's particularly appropriate given what happened in Manhattan on Park Avenue on Monday night, where the insane person came into NFL headquarters and shot up and killed four people. And one of the women, the last woman who was killed, 27 years old, very sad story. She was in one of these safe rooms because the owners of the building believed in safe rooms and they had them everywhere. And she was in the safe room and she, for some reason, decided to come out, and this madman killed her. And it goes to show that, you know, You could be attacked at any time under any circumstance. This was one of the most secure office buildings in New York City, and this guy got through. And you need a safe room, a place to run to, and that's what FlipLock is all about. FlipLock is 10 times stronger than a deadbolt. It instantly turns any room into a safe room, and it installs in less than 5 minutes. While supplies last, you can purchase the original FlipLock. It's a $50 value for just $25. It's a great deal. It'll give you some peace of mind, or if you have a kid or someone who's living in anywhere, actually, any this could happen in any neighborhood. You know, it'll give you peace of mind about your loved one. Limit 3 per order, no returns on this product. By purchasing this product service, you agree to receive email messages from the Howie Carr Radio Network and the manufacturer distributor of this product service. HCRN, Howie Carr Radio Network, reserves the right to limit customers to 10 orders per household. Please allow 2 to 3 weeks for delivery. With us now is Anna Rieger. She is the president of FlipLock and the inventor as well. And Anna, this is a, I mean, it's sad, but it's a perfect opportunity to tell people about FlipLock after what has happened this week in New York.
Yeah, no, it's really, really terrible, and it's always sad to see anybody lose their life, and especially under mental illness. But that's why I created FlipLock, to create any room, to turn a safe, or any room into a safe room, quick, easy, when you're under duress and you can't think and you can't move fast. You flip it, it drops, it locks, you get out of the way, right? You get away from the door, you don't come out, hopefully until somebody tells you that there's, you know, safety on the other side, because we never know what's going on the other side, and unfortunately, that's what happened. And so with FlipLock, You can put it in any room, any office, any building. We're in schools, we're in offices, we're in hospitals, we're in embassies, we're all over the United States. And the one that we made at home is for people to be able to afford it, to give everybody that sense of security, that peace of mind. But it does hold, like you said, 1,600 pounds of force, and it has been tested. And so I stand behind it, and I'm very proud to say that we created something that can actually save lives.
Right. So, you know, if your kid is living on his own or her own for the first time ever, you know, in an apartment off campus or just, you know, off a military base, this is a good thing to have because, you know, a lot of the first apartments you're living in, even in a trailer, you know, they're easy to break into. So you need to have some kind of security, but it's also for anybody who's living anywhere. You just need one room. What room do most people put it in, Anna Rieger?
So a lot of people put it on their front door, but like you said, if they're renting, if they're children, we have it in our kids. They live in social dorms where there's other kids in their room and in their apartment, and so they have one on their bedroom. I have one on my bedroom because as a woman, I'm always scared. I don't want to wake up with somebody, you know, already in. I'd rather have a little bit of time to be able to react if somebody does get into my house. So bedrooms, front doors, back doors. Every door can have one, but just rooms that you could go to. If somebody does get in your house, you can run to a bedroom and lock it quickly, you know. So I think any room in your house really works, but we do have a lot of people that use them in their bedrooms as well.
Yeah, and at this price, the original flip lock, a $50 value for just $25, you could buy a few to put it on your front door, your back door, your bedroom door. It's very simple to install. And people can you have demonstrations on YouTube and on your website how to install it. People can see how easy it is. Where can they see those videos, Anna?
They can see them on YouTube, or they can see them at fliplock.com. If they have problems, they can always call us. We're here in Houston, Texas. Happy to help anybody with any questions or any concerns that they may have. We're open to that as well.
Yeah, and again, it installs in less than 5 minutes, and it's just very easy, and it's not complicated. You just drop the bolt, and it's in there, and it's 10 times stronger than a deadbolt. And deadbolts are better than they used to be. Obviously, they've improved it, but still, this is even better than the modern deadbolts, and it's worth it, and. It's sad, you know, this company that owned the building on Park Avenue. I mean, they knew that this could happen, Anna, and that's why they set up the safe rooms, and that's why they probably saved lives, because I'm sure people were in those safe rooms when this guy was running amok, and this, so you could make your own house into a bit more of a fortress.
Right, or your office. If you have offices and you want to protect your employees, give them that extra layer of security, you could do it there. It's just anywhere, you know, especially with our kids going into the school year, going into new apartments, going in, you know, off to college. These are great ways to keep our family safe when we can't be with them. So, or if your family, my mother-in-law has mobility issues with her hands, she doesn't like to lock the deadbolt because it's too hard to unlock. This is the easier way for them to be able to lock and secure their doors without the fear of not being able to unlock it.
Okay, Flip Lock, 10 times stronger than a deadbolt, instantly turns any room into a safe room, installs in less than 5 minutes. You can get it now. The original Flip Lock, a $50 value for just $25. Go to HowieCarShow.com, click on store. I'm Howie Carr.